Thank you, Linda. I feel like I'm back in the Senate. You know, today we agreed we were each going to speak 8 or 10 minutes and then take questions. It's been an hour now. It's like being with two other senators here, but I enjoyed the talk more than my own, so I appreciate it. And Linda knows a lot about the book she just talked about because she was a huge, huge help on that as well. This is my first Philadelphia Society Conference. It's already been very meaningful to me. I came in today, or came in yesterday, feeling very guilty that I was had been too hard on Republicans. But after hearing Angelo, I feel like a moderate now. I feel relieved. And I appreciate the forgiveness of this group. It's rare today that people invite a wayward recovering politician to speak, so I appreciate you having me here today. And as Linda mentioned, yesterday was actually my first anniversary of being president, which means Ed Fulner has been really worried for about a year now. The articles that I destroyed the Heritage Foundation, though, actually started about a month before I came president, and they've continued. But I can sure assure you that the staff that Ed and Phil Truluck and others have put together over the years, a lot of them are here today, and you know them all, some of the finest people I've ever worked with. And I've also found that there are hundreds of groups all around the country that are expecting Heritage to lead. They want us to provide the resources, the best policies, and they are our leverage to actually bring millions of people into the conservative fold. So we have a huge opportunity. Millions of Americans are counting on us. I'm very grateful for this group because you've helped to build the foundation for the conservative movement over many years. And what we're trying to do now is determine how can we build on that? How can we use what you've done to actually lead the nation in the direction it needs to go? We know, as Neil has referred to, that if we had had every American listening to this conference yesterday and today, that very few of them would understand what we were talking about. Very few would have any idea of how this discussion has anything to do with their life or how it would make their life better. What we miss, I think, is we automatically translate how limited government, how a constitution, how the rule of law makes life better for everyone. But what is painfully obvious is Americans don't translate it that way. I think our challenge is similar to what Robert said in his quote about art today, that it was making the transcendent perceptible. And our goal now, and I think our real need as a movement, is to understand, to figure out, how do we make our transcendent ideas perceptible in a way that connects with the American people? The good news is, and we've had a chance to talk to literally thousands of Americans over the last year about this subject, is whether you're sitting down talking with college students, minority groups, people who don't agree with us, a large majority of people, if you take off the political labels, agree with the ideas that we talk about. I mean, they agree with these basic ideas of the importance of a strong family and community and society built around traditional ideas. They agree with free enterprise and competition. Not all of them express it in the same terms that we do, but they agree. But you can talk to a person many times, or a whole group, and they agree with you, it seems, 80, 90% of the time, and then you say, oh, would you vote for a Republican who believed those things? And then suddenly, no way. And you realize that our ideas aren't the differentiating factor anymore, that the perception of the parties and the labels have really overtaken it. And that is a perception that we have to change, and that I believe we can. I learned years ago in the marketing business that you have to look at your life, your business, and on two different sides. And I call it two sides of the curtain. If any of you have ever put on a stage play where you're working backstage, working with wardrobes, painting the backdrops, working with lighting, dealing with the scripts and the music and the actors and the practicing, all those things that go on backstage, it's hectic, it's chaotic. But when you open those curtains, that's not what you want people to see. We've talked about that a lot at the Heritage Foundation because we work a lot on research really digging into issues, looking at historically how have things worked and not worked, what's working today, what's working at the state level. I mean, we know we're right. But if that's not the perception of the American people, then the reality is we're not right. And we have to figure out how can we open the curtains in a way where people see something that they really relate to. And talking to people all over the country, there were no real surprises, but maybe we don't think about it this way all the time. People want to know how you're going to make their life better, how you're going to make them more successful, create more opportunity, make them happier, more cheerful, more joyous. How are you going to make life better for their children, their communities safer, their schools better for their children? They don't think about their lives in terms of public policy. But we can help them do that, but not by talking about public policy first. I found out over the last couple of months talking about this new book. It's titled Fall in Love with America Again, and I found out conservatives don't like this lovey-dovey stuff, and it doesn't sound intellectual at all to talk about what people really care about. But that's probably the intellectual challenge of our time, is to take this base of ideas and research that have been going on the last 50 years and translate that in a way that people see the real value in their life. And this is not something we have to manufacture. We don't change our principles. We don't change our ideas. We just learn how to talk on the other side of the curtain. The good news is we have the majority of the American people who basically agree with our ideas and principles. The rest of the good news is we can prove that our ideas work, not just with research, but with stories of real people. And telling these stories, we find, is the most effective way to talk about our ideas today. We can talk about Kelly, who was in the third grade in Washington, D.C. school, failing, way behind, really at the first grade level when his dad realized how far he was behind. But he was fortunate enough to be one of those who got a D.C. scholarship. And now with all his friends going in the opposite direction, years later, he's in college. We know our ideas work. We can also compare it with what the left is trying to do, closing these type of schools, shutting down the scholarships, not because of the students, but because of big teachers' unions and big government and other big interests. This is really a teachable moment for America because our ideas are working all over the country. We have 30 states now with Republican governors. A lot of them have conservative legislatures. They're expanding school choice, and we don't have to talk about the theory anymore. We can talk about the children and their names. And that's a way we can unite America, because that story of these children is why people like Juan Williams, who's not a conservative, or James Carville think school choice is a good idea. We didn't win that in a debate. We won it with the names of these little children and the parents who are talking about it. And we can talk about the families who have a better life in North Dakota, northern Pennsylvania, and other states that are developing their own energy, and all the implications of more abundant energy in all areas of our life and foreign policy. But we can talk about the families who have opportunity in the future and the tax dollars that are building better schools and infrastructure, all because we're using new technology to develop an energy that's a third less polluting than oil or coal. We've got the stories to tell, and we can look at states like New York, or we can look at cities like Detroit, where they've been under liberal control for 50 or 60 years. Detroit, the pride of America when I was growing up, is now a wasteland, but it is a showcase of liberal ideas that are in front of America, and now America is listening. They don't want to know about our political party or our political labels, or not so much about our public policies, but they want to know we care about them. They want to know we have ideas to make their life better. And once we can convince them of that, they'll listen to what we have to say. And what we need to convince them of is not to vote for Republicans, but to vote for themselves, to vote for the ideas that'll make their life better. And that is our job as conservatives. We don't need to beat Republicans over the head. I can guarantee you, they won't do the right thing unless they're forced to. And despite all of their talk about how conservatives have hurt the party, the only election they've won in over a decade was 2010, and they had nothing to do with it. It was a grassroots, spontaneous movement of conservative ideas that was pretty much about limited government, less spending, stopping Obamacare, and stop the bailouts. It was the big tent that Republicans had talked about for years, and it went by right under their nose without them even noticing that this group was made up of conservatives and libertarians and recovering liberals and people who had never been involved in politics before, who simply were concerned about their country. And instead of embracing it, they pushed it away. And they have since blamed every problem that's come up in Washington on a group that really doesn't even exist. This is the American people, and this is when over half of Republicans vote against incumbents. They're, even if it means they'll lose the election, it should send us a message that people, particularly conservative Republicans, are tired enough of the status quo that they'd rather lose than vote for the status quo. But what we saw in that grassroots movement, that out there among the people, if we can just inspire them with the right ideas and put candidates, messengers out there who are genuine about it, that you can change the polls, you can change the statistics, you can run against the whole Washington establishment and do what they say is impossible and elect people who stand for the ideas. But our challenge now is to do what Milton Friedman said we had to do, is that we have to create an environment in this country where even the wrong people will do the right thing in office. That's our job. That's what we're taking on to lead at the Heritage Foundation, is not only continue the right policy development through the best research, to know how to communicate it through the best market research on a continuous basis, and it, through our Heritage Action sister organization, build a national network of informed citizens who can get people constructively engaged in the political process in more of a permanent way, not just about the next election, but to get people to come together to understand how to engage and improve the political process. And I can guarantee you, if we talk about the difference we make in people's lives, you will see cheerful conservatives. I like the way Mike Pence said it once, a former congressman, now governor. He said, "I'm conservative, and I'm not angry about it." And we don't need to be angry about it either, because we can be cheerful and joyous in the fact that we can make life better for every American. We can help every American get their hand on the ladder of opportunity and climb as high as they can dream. This is not about political theory or elections or Republicans or Democrats. This is about showing America what's really in our hearts, not just in our minds, that the reason we're doing this today, the reason we're doing everything we're doing, is to make life better, create more opportunity and happiness for every American. And there are enough demonstration projects all over this country to show that our ideas on energy, healthcare, education, transportation, environment are working and work better than those on the left. We just have to tell the stories, and I can guarantee you there'll be a lot of cheerful Americans. Thank you a lot.